Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Welcome to worship this morning with First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. It is a great joy to welcome you this morning to our two campuses, our Brighton campus and our Whitmore Lake campus. I'm greeting you this morning from our Brighton campus. My name is Reverend Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the clergy that serves our congregation, along with my co-partner, my co-minister on this journey, Reverend John Reynolds, my husband. We warmly greet you this morning on behalf of the congregation. We would love to know that you are worshiping with us today, and we kind of track that. We kind of keep notice of that, who's been worshiping with us, by inviting you to fill out a connection card. You can find that online at our church website, which is www.brightonfumc.org. If you click on worship, then click on our connection card, you can find that information. It helps us stay up to date with who's been worshiping with us, gives us an opportunity to receive any updated contact information from you. So thanks for taking a moment to do that. Also, feel free to note what things you'd like to get better connected to in the life of the church. We'd be happy to get you plugged in here. Today in worship, we are continuing our Sincerely Paul sermon series. So look forward to that in worship. Also, we would encourage you to share this worship video so that way others can find a spiritual home and get better connected to our church. So please take a moment now on social media to share this worship video. We also greet you on this Memorial Day weekend, and we remember and we celebrate all those who have lost their lives while serving in active military service. We give you thanks for their service. We give you thanks for the way they served their country and served God. And we warmly thank you, and we lift up those persons who are mourning the loss of loved ones this Memorial Day weekend. We celebrate their service, and we give God thanks for their lives. In this time of worship now, I would invite you to center yourselves. So maybe you'd like to find a candle in your home and light that candle, that light being a symbol of God's presence with us this day, as we center ourselves, as we calm our spirits, as we get ready to worship the living God. Let us praise God together.
Just Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Lord of all, we thank you for great advice from Paul, which helps us to live more fully in community with others. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. We pray for opportunities to share the spiritual gifts you have given us so your kingdom will grow. We praise and thank you for the people who have shared our lives and have passed from this world. We remember them today and praise you for blessing us with the time we spent together. In your name we pray. Amen. The Bible reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 18. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are in one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassion in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be adherent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully among all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to allow our minds to be transformed. Amen. Well, I love the book of Romans. It was probably one of Paul's most significant and complex works that he wrote over the course of his life. It's 16 chapters long, and by comparison to Paul's epistle letters, this is Paul's theological masterpiece. Most of us, when we come into contact with the writings of Paul, we acclimate towards things like 1 Corinthians and the Paul's letter to the church in Rome. This book is 16 chapters long, and the passage that we read today in chapter 12 is part of the central part of the letter. It's sort of part of the apex of the writing that he did for the church in Rome. And most scholars agree that Paul probably wrote this letter sometime around 50 AD, and he probably wrote it from the community of Corinth, which you can imagine him in the midst of writing this letter, knowing that the church is under significant persecution, even in this time. It was dangerous to be somebody who claimed that they followed Jesus Christ. The other interesting thing about Rome is most people who live there, who are a part of the power and leadership structure in Rome, believe that they were the bona fide system and distribution of justice for all of the known world. Folks in Rome believed that they were righteous, that they were filled with the opportunity to distribute justice all throughout the world. They believed that they knew exactly how to live and how to be righteous. And Paul's work, as he wrote the book of Romans, challenges everything that folks in Rome would have assumed that they knew about justice and where it came from. Paul's intuition, of course, was that justice came from God's righteousness, that God was the one true judge, not Caesar. And so simply by writing these words, he certainly put himself in harm's way. There are lots of familiar passages in Romans. Lots of people go to Romans chapter 8, which in the ancient world, oftentimes the most significant writing of any letter or significant book or anything that was written at the time would often come smack dab in the middle of a particular text. Well, some of you are probably familiar with Romans chapter 8 when the Apostle Paul writes that nothing in all of creation can ever separate us from the love that we have in Jesus Christ. It was a powerful message back then, and people have clung to verses like that as they reflect on the difficult and challenging circumstances of our time. I think Paul wrote those words for the church in Rome, but he probably was writing them for himself as well. He was probably reminding himself that no matter how bad things got with regards to imprisonment or being tortured or experiencing some of the most difficult pains that human beings can experience, that there was nothing in all of creation that could ever separate him or anybody else from the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ. I hope you hear that message today. There's a lot of churches and there's a lot of theologies out there that talk about being separated from God, that talk about being distant from God, that talk about being torn apart from God. And there's in Romans chapter 8 is this grand theological statement that there's nothing that you can do or that anything that there's nothing that anybody else can do to you that would separate you from God's love. Well, in this passage today, Paul's talking about the ramifications of that particular love. What does it mean in terms of how you're called to act and be in this world? And he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? At least as I understand it, it means that we're to present ourselves. You know, so often in the ancient world, they would bring, you know, burnt offerings or sacrifices of animals to God as a way of bridging that gap. Quite often when I invite the offering in the church, I say, Lord, you know, accept these gifts that we've shared, these financial gifts, but more importantly than those gifts, God, accept us as your living hands and feet in this world. Allow us to be the offering this day. Allow us to use our gifts, our unique abilities, our talents, our capacities to advance your kingdom here on this earth. God, in addition to these financial offerings, we give ourselves to be a part of the movement of the Holy Spirit that's happening in the world today. Use us in some way to be a part of that good work. So Paul says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your act of spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God. Paul talks about this a lot in some of his other letters, like Philippians, where he says, have the same phronesis, which is a Greek word for a certain state of mind. Have the same mind and heart of God in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's hard. You know, when I think about Jesus, you know, there's this approachability, but then there's also at times for me this distance. How can I ever measure up? How can I ever be good enough to fit into, to fill your footsteps, to walk behind you, to follow in your way? Paul's encouragement here is to allow your mind and your spirit to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ so that you might be able to discern what the will of God is, what is acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not think more of yourselves than you ought. I don't know about you, but I'm guessing there are some people out there who struggle with being too prideful, who struggle with having too much self-confidence, who struggle with gloating about their own abilities. One of the reoccurring themes throughout Romans is that we are all imperfect, that we are all broken, that we all struggle with things, that I don't care what your house looks like or how many bumper stickers that you have on your car that say that your children are straight A students at the local school. It doesn't, none of that matters. At the end of the day, none of it matters as much as the fact that none of us are perfect, and yet God loves us the same. It doesn't matter whether your family is falling apart or you feel like you're falling apart yourself. God's love remains. And so if life is going well for you, Paul's encouragement is to not think too much of yourself, to humble yourself, to acknowledge that yes, there are blessings in your life that you can be thankful for, but at the end of the day, that praise and that thanksgiving should go to God. Not extending your arm to pat yourself on the back. And Paul continues that here in this body of Christ, there are many people with many gifts, each of them unique and special and important. And his encouragement is to use those gifts. I don't know if there are some folks who feel like they've been sitting on the sidelines for the last couple of months. I mean, that's one of the things that I've struggled most with online worship and with sitting at home instead of being in church, and some of our mission opportunities that need people. Some of us, I think, over the last couple of months haven't had as many opportunities to use our gifts as we would have liked. And so maybe this is the moment. Paul says, for those of you who can teach, teach. For those of you who have been given the gift of prophecy, make sure you're prophesying, giving a testimony to what justice looks like in the world. If you're an exhorter, give exhortation. If you're a giver in generosity, please give generously so that the work of the church can continue. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Again, this is Paul's theological masterpiece. Contribute to the needs of the saints. I don't know, maybe you know a missionary out there. Maybe you know a particular mission project. Maybe you know a good nonprofit that's doing incredible work in the world. If you're in a position to be able to give generously to support some of those organizations, I hope you do it. Most nonprofits are struggling, just like everybody else, to have enough folks on staff. Anybody who's been in the human service industry over the last year and a half knows that the needs are many and sometimes the resources are far too few. Maybe this is a chance. If generosity is part of your gift set, for you to be a blessing to others, love one another with mutual affection. There are lots of ways that you can do that in the world today. This church is really good at sending cards, at picking up the phone and calling people that we know are struggling, of sending prayer quilts all around the world so that people might know the love of this particular church. And I love this part. Extend hospitality to strangers. A lot of us have experienced the kind of isolation over the last year and a half that probably we have never experienced in our life. Some of us feel lonely and isolated, and we wonder exactly who it is out there that might care about us and for us. I think this is part of Paul's evangelism strategy, that folks in Rome would go out of their way to sort of lay down their life for other people and go out of their way to extend hospitality to strangers. Well, what does that mean in the 21st century? Maybe if there's somebody who you know is feeling isolated, maybe if you drop off some coffee on their front porch and you visit with them, maybe socially distanced even at this time if they continue to be vulnerable, but maybe there's some way of building bridges where there are at other times in your history of relationship with this individual, there were walls. Paul's encouragement to extend hospitality to strangers, I think, is an invitation for us to go out and be the church. To let people that we might not associate with or know fully as part of this body of Christ, to let them know what people in First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake are all about. What is it that's different about your life because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, and how might that transform the life of somebody that you barely know? Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. I mean, what a message. You could probably preach a sermon about just about every single one of these texts. I want to take a moment to encourage you at some point in your life to sit down and read Romans from cover to cover. Maybe you take about a 2-week period of time and just each night read a chapter of the book of Romans and see what themes emerged in the early church and how often those themes coincide with the themes that we're dealing with in our church today. As I said earlier, it's one of Paul's theological masterpieces, and I encourage you to take a moment with it and give it the time that it's due. This was one of Paul's finest works. It was kind of the summation, almost like a senior thesis at the end of a wonderful period of life for Paul, and he took the time to sit down and write it so that we might have some deep understanding of what this faith was all about for him and what it meant to him to be a person of faith as he was just figuring it out in the early Christian church. Paul's encouragement to us in this passage is this: take a self-assessment. Look at yourself, your skills, your abilities. Think about what those gifts are and figure out some way of using them. Some of us have more money than time. Some of us have more abilities than money. Some of us have more time but no skills and no resources to do it. I think Paul is asking us to take a self-inventory and ask ourselves the question, are we using whatever gifts we might have, our time, our talent, our treasure, to build and advance God's kingdom? Are we making a good faith effort to assess what we have and give some to God and to the community of faith? If you need help sort of assessing your spiritual gifts or God's calling on your life, how you might be able to utilize those gifts, I encourage you to reach out to the church, and Pastor Lindsay and myself would be happy to meet with you to talk about your giftedness and how we might be able to find ways for you to use them in service of God's kingdom. Maybe you are blessed with the unique ability to teach or to lead or to prophesy about what God's justice looks like in the world today. Maybe you were called to utilize your gifts in mission or teaching. Maybe you're called to help us build new homes for folks who are homeless. But I hope at some time this week you take a moment in the midst of everything reopening and simply say, God, what unique gifts do I have? What abilities do I have that maybe nobody else does? And where are you calling me to use those gifts? I'm going to invite you to pray with me as we close our time together. And I'm going to invite God to lead you in that spiritual journey. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we're grateful that you know the exact shape and form of our fingerprints, that you know the number of hairs on our head, that you know us each uniquely and can call us by name. And every single one of us have something that we can give to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Help us find it. Help us to be able to articulate and know what our unique gifts and abilities are, and help us to find ways that we can use them to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Built on nothing less
than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
This morning we have a prayer quilt. Will you send your blessings now as we bless this quilt? Holy God, thank you for Barbara. Thank you for showering her with your blessings, with your comfort, and may she feel the love and prayers and support of this congregation as she receives this prayer quilt. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Good morning. I'm Suzanne Everett. Will you pray with me? Loving and merciful God, we lift our voices in song and praise this morning with gratitude. Gratitude for your generous spirit in our lives. We worship you and witness to the mercy and forgiveness you have shown us. Give us the courage to reflect your love and forgiveness on those around us. We are reminded today that we are called to live in harmony with one another, to live in peace with everyone. On this Memorial Day weekend, we bless those who gave their lives so that we might know freedom. For some folks, the memories are of distant loved ones, and for others, the grief is still fresh and tender. May we uphold and honor their memories and wrap all their loved ones in your comforting arms. As your faithful children, dear Lord, we seek to know you better so that we may grow to love you more fully and serve you generously using the gifts you have given us. Day after day, we are presented with reminders of ways we humans have fallen short of loving all your children. The news, social media, conversations, even walking through our communities, each give us opportunities to practice loving others as you have taught us. Help us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Now let's take a moment of silent reflection, and I invite you to imagine your grief, your failings, your pleas for healing, your need for comfort, all the needs and wants and requests you have for God. Imagine each of those as an object you can pick up and set down in front of God. Pile them up and leave them at the feet of Jesus. Ask him to ease your load and lighten your spirit in this moment of silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, this weekend also marks our entry into summer. We give you thanks for the beauty that is coming alive all around us. The flowers and trees are bursting with new growth. We give you thanks for the rain that freshens the ground and gives life to plants, to animals, and to us. Help us to be better stewards of your creation. And for those who will be traveling this summer, we pray for their safety, that their spirits are renewed through their adventures. We pray that this summer will be a time when friendships are rekindled and relationships are strengthened. And as we consider our friends, we remember the prayer that you taught your friends, and we repeat it together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
and the glory forever. Amen.
Hi, I'm April from the Whitmore Lake campus and a member of the missions team here at Burst Church. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the mission of the month for June, Habitat for Humanity Huron Valley. Habitat is a program that provides low-income families a chance to own an affordable home of their own. Applicants to the program take classes in homebuyer education, money management, along with home ownership classes to learn simple repairs and DIY projects. Each adult in the household is asked to give back by working 250 sweat equity hours. This includes working on houses in progress, at the Habitat Restore, or at other community-based projects through Habitat. Due to a dip in the market in the late 2000s, Habitat found it more economical to purchase and renovate empty houses rather than build from scratch. Our church, along with 12 other congregations in Washtenaw County, formed the Good News Group. Each year, we partner with Habitat to sponsor one or two of these homes. Since the formation of Good News Group in 1997, we have helped 35 families with affordable housing, including 67 children. As part of our sponsorship, each congregation in the Good News Group pledges volunteers for work days during the summer build season. This year, the work dates for the Brighton Whitmore Lake congregation are Saturdays, June 25th and July 31st, along with Friday, August 27th. The house we will be working on this year is located on Browning Avenue in Ypsilanti. For more information on the house, along with volunteer information and sign up, please see the missions page on the church website, watch for it in the weekly church newsletter, or contact me directly. Along with volunteer work, each congregation in the Good News Group is asked to make a monetary pledge to help defray the cost of building materials and supplies. The Brighton Whitmore Lake pledge this year is $2,000, so we are asking the congregation to help us raise the roof on a Habitat house, giving a family a chance to realize the dream of owning an affordable home of their own. Donations can be dropped in the offering plate or made online through the church website at brightonfumc.org. Please make sure to note Habitat in the comments. I encourage you to read more about additional programs Habitat offers, including an appliance replacement program, veterans program, and community development, and more on the Habitat for Humanity Huron Valley website at www.h4h.org. I also want to mention another opportunity to support the Habitat mission, the Whitmore Lake fireworks on July 2nd. The fireworks are launched from barges on the lake, and a prime spot to watch them is from the Whitmore Lake campus. Donations for parking in the church parking lot are collected at the gate and go to the Habitat mission. Thank you for your continued generosity, and God bless.
Please join me in a time of prayer. O holy and loving God, thank you for the gifts that we give this day. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you by sharing our offerings and our tithes and all of our gifts. May you bless them, Lord. May they be multiplied. May it be used to build your kingdom here and now on earth. Each gift, whether it is a few coins or a few dollars or a check written and shared, God, each gift we know is given generously. And each gift, God, may it be used for your blessings. God, we seek to faithfully follow you. And so, God, encourage us to be generous givers this day. Thank you, God, for every gift that is given. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Church, thank you for the gifts, the tithes, the offerings you're giving this day, whether it's online giving or mailing your check into the church. Thank you. Know that you are a blessing this day. Thank you for your generosity.
Blessed be Jesus. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from
Friends, thank you so much for joining us in worship this week. We hope that the service was a blessing for you as we end our time together. I want to let you know about a couple of announcements here at the church. First of all, you're probably aware at this point that as groups gather, they now, under new CDC guidelines, are recommending that folks who are fully vaccinated have the choice now as to whether or not they wear masks within indoor spaces. And we've updated our policies to become in alignment with those guidelines from the CDC and the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. At this point, as groups gather, we are allowing groups made up of adults that meet here during the week to eat within inside the walls of our building and have refreshments, coffee, and the like in the small group areas. And groups that are made up of folks who are, families with children, we are encouraging all of that eating to take place outside in any way, shape, or form. So for youth ministry events and children's ministry events, in addition to our hospitality that takes place after and before worship, we are going to have all of that outside at this time to be inclusive of all of our families with children so that they can participate in those experiences of hospitality as well. As we close our time together, I want to encourage you to depart from this place with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.